The greatest power you will ever experience is the power of God's love towards you.
Death has been defined, and the grave has been denied.
The gospel of Jesus Christ does not revolve around your love and commitment towards God, but it revolves around God's love and commitment towards you.
Now, what a relief, forgiven and free.
God is not a sin-conscious God, but a worth-conscious God. And you are worth so much to Him.
Oh, what a release, what a beautiful peace, how marvelously you've called us yours.
The following program revolves around God's love for you, when you can discover your worth and enjoy the life God has dreamt for you. Greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus. It is such a blessing for me to serve you with the good news of your innocence in Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to minister the righteousness of God as a free gift unto you today. I would like to minister to you and tell you that what God accomplished in Jesus Christ is a million times bigger than what Satan has accomplished in Adam. Let me say that again. What God accomplished in Jesus is a million times bigger than what was accomplished by Satan in Adam. Glory to God. We've got a good God and a loving God that cares for us. In today's teaching, I'm going to be talking about what God says about you and the passage where it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." And we're going to look at the different words for blessing or blessed there in detail. We're going to go into the Greek and we're going to just study that out and just see how God loves us and cares for us. Now, before I get into the message for today, I would just like to promote two of my books that I wrote that I'm sure will really bless you. The first book that I want to bring to your attention is a book called Born from Innocence. It's about a 140-page book that teaches you on the death of Jesus Christ, explains the baptism of John and what took place there in the context of the love of God. And this also teaches us that Jesus took away the sin of the whole world. And from that platform of forgiveness, we can have a brand new life. We can be born again. So many Christians today owe their birth to guilt and condemnation and fear of lack and fear of not being protected, going through a very difficult time, having a life born from guilt. So you can be born from innocence, born from a revelation of what God did in Jesus Christ. As John said, when he beheld Jesus, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, who has come to take away the sin of the whole world." So you can grab a hold of Born from Innocence. And then I've got another book that I wrote called Jesus is the Tithe. This book talks about finances in the kingdom of God, where it explains money and giving and the church and a relationship with God as pertaining to finances from a loving father's perspective, not the perspective of guilt and condemnation, but a loving father's perspective, where we find generosity born in us because of the goodness of God. In this book, one of the things that I've said there is that giving cannot make you generous, but that God can make you generous. So this talks about revelation of the goodness of God in the area of money, and it will really bless you. It took me 8 years to write this book. I did a lot of study on the topic, and I know it will bless every person that watches or that reads that book and just sees what God has done for us in Jesus as pertaining to finances. These books are available from dynamicministries.com, and it is also available for free in e-format. Isn't that awesome? I just feel in my heart, just to be generous and give this. Freely I have received, so freely I'll give. It costs no money to send out an ebook. There's no cost involved. It costs me nothing. There is a price on the normal paperback because it does cost money to ship and so forth. So you can grab a hold of that from our website, dynamicministries.com. If you are in the United States, watching in the United States, you can also get it from our website or from Amazon.com. Those watching in Europe, you can get it from Amazon.com and they will ship it to you. It's very quick, like 2 days, and you'll have it. So let's get over to the message for today. And I'm going to talk about the teaching on the blessing or blessedness that there is in Jesus Christ, where He speaks well of us. Now, I want to read Ephesians 1 verse 3. Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Let us read it again. And I want you to take in what is said here. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see the first word blessed there. And then it goes on. It says again, "who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And then the word blessed there that I've highlighted is the Greek word 2127, which means adorable. And then adorable, according to Webster's, means in a popular use, is worthy of utmost love and respect. Worthy of utmost love and respect. So when we look at this passage, we see that the Apostle Paul comes, and when he writes from this perspective where he says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, many times when we read it as in starting off with Ephesians, and we say, "Oh, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," and we just quickly read it. But that is not what the whole spirit behind it is. Some commentators say that this talks about an outburst of joy, where the Apostle Paul comes and he said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's how it is written. That was the heart behind Paul. It was as if he was starting off with the first verse where he said, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." And when he wrote that, he just think that the Father gives grace, the Son gives grace, the Father gives peace, the Son gives peace. Oh my goodness, adorable is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you hear the gospel, you must always hear the gospel from a perspective where you cannot but say, God is absolutely adorable. Our gospel must be a gospel that leaves God in the parameter of adorable. When you look at Him, you say, I cannot but adore Him. I cannot but say that He is worthy of the utmost love and respect. Now, many times, and I think of my life, there was a time where I would think God is worthy of utmost love and respect because He is God. And since He is God, we have to adore Him. We have to love Him. We have to respect Him. You know, God doesn't have to demand respect, you know, from you. Who He is fuels respect in our hearts. It fuels love in our hearts. And you know, whenever you read any topic in the Bible, even if it is on finances, even if it is on sin, even if it is on disobedience, whatever it is, when we read that, it must leave us with a concept of adorable is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if somebody is good, that good that is inside him will show in every area of his life. There will not be some areas that's bad and some areas that's not, that is good. If God is good, you can see the fingerprint of good and love all over who he is and whatever pertains to him. And this is what the Apostle Paul comes and he says. He says, he's basically saying, I've just spoken to the Father, I've just spoken to the Son, and he has inspired me to write you this letter. And from him, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a quick recap, that word grace there, when the Bible says, and Noah found grace in the sight of God, what it says is that Noah looked into the eyes of God and saw grace. That's what he did. That word grace there comes from a root word which means to want to put up camp or pitch a tent with someone. So what Noah was saying is, you know, when I look into the eyes of God, I don't see a lawmaker, a punisher, someone who is sin conscious. I see someone that wants to come and live with me. And that is what the scripture says, to find grace in the eyes of God, where you see somebody that wants to abode with you, that loves you the way you are, that cares for you. And this is what the Apostle Paul comes and does. He says in verse 2, Ephesians 1 verse 2, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next verse, an outburst of joy, because grace, I want to live with them, I want to be with them, I want to surround them, I want to pitch my tent with them. That's what I want to do, and that's what Paul says. So whenever we hear the gospel, it must always be from the perspective of God is adorable above all things. And that adorableness, if you want to call it like that, or that respect, should not be something that is born from a command in the Bible. It must be something that is a fruit in your life on account of the respect that God brings forth in our hearts in how He honors and loves man. Now, the second part of that passage, or the second word there, I'm just reading the passage. I'm not going to have this on the slide. I'm just going to have the Greek definition, but the first slide said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Now that second word, who has blessed us, is what we're going to look at right now. It means the following. It means to praise, to celebrate with praises, to invoke blessing, to cause to prosper, to make happy, to bestow blessings on. Okay, so what that passage says, it says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, or adorable or worthy of our praises is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has praised and celebrated us with praises. Isn't that absolutely powerful? It says here, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praiseworthy is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Worthy of all love and adoration is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has praised and celebrated us and invoked blessings upon us and caused us to prosper and to make us happy and bestowed blessings upon us. That is what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, let's praise the God who has praised man. Now, so many times we think, oh no, you know, you cannot say that God would praise man. Now, I don't think that God would worship man as in worshiping a God, but I do believe that God would praise man. And let me explain that. You know, we that are earthly fathers and that are evil in our own ability, meaning that we don't have the ability to by our own works produce eternal life or eternal security for our children, we know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more will our Heavenly Father not give us all things freely in Jesus Christ, or give us the Holy Spirit, or give us eternal life? Now, if we that are earthly parents know how to be good to our children, how much more will God not be good to us? Now, I say that, and then I want to use this example and then bring it back to God praising us. You know, it's amazing when you go to a school, especially primary school, and you see the kids in the first grade. running their first 60-meter dash. You will see the parents standing there at the finishing line, and the kids will be on the other side. And those kids, you know, when they when the shot goes off and they must run, you'll find one kid run this way, the other one runs that way. Some of them are just running straight ahead and giving their best, and some of them are slow. And when they get to the other side, you will see the parent grab that child, hug that child, embrace that child in such a powerful way, because he doesn't want that child to experience rejection. He doesn't want that child to have his identity in if he lost the race. And you will hear that mother or that father praise that child. He will say to that child, "You are the best. You did so well. I'm so proud of you." And he would praise that child. Why do we as parents do such a thing? Because we know that our children cannot survive in this world without our praises. If we cannot speak well of them, it will not empower them in this life. If we cannot speak well of them, it will not give them that, yes, I can do it, I can push through. It will not give that to them. If we don't praise them, we know that the whole world is against us. You know, the whole world, in a great sense, is negative. There's crime, there's traffic, there's sickness and disease. It's you know, when you need to do something, you need to study hard to get somewhere in life. You need to work hard to make a rand or a dollar. It's hard work out in this world. And you will find that the world will not easily praise you. That's why parents will praise their kids, because that praise brings strength. Now, the Apostle Paul comes and he says, adorable is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, or blessed be, well spoken of is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has praised us, or who has spoken well of us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places? Now, you know, it says there, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, that word where it says spiritual blessings, I just want to bring the definition on the screen and read it to you. All spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, that spiritual blessings, that word blessings means fine speaking, that is elegance of language, commendation, that is reverently adoration. Isn't that powerful? Just look at that again. It says, from the same root or the same word as 2:1-7, fine speaking, that is elegance of language, commendation, that is reverently adoration. Isn't that absolutely powerful? What the scripture says, it says, adorable is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has adored us, who has spoken well of us, who has praised us, who has invoked prosperity on us, who has been good to us. And he says, he has spoken well of us with the finest, most eloquent commendation and adoration that can be found in the heavens. Isn't that absolutely good news? That is who God is, and he hasn't changed. You know, so many times we think, you know, that Jesus was friendly when he walked on the earth, but when he returns, that is when we must be scared. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't go to heaven to have a personality change. He went to heaven, and the very same Jesus that said to Thomas when he was doubting, "Put your hand in my side," the very same Jesus, when he appeared to the disciples, which all deserted him, and he appeared, he showed his hands and he showed his side and he said, "Peace unto you." The very same Jesus that greets us with peace. The very same Jesus that appeared to the apostles after they denied him and greeted them with peace. That very same Jesus, I'm going to tell you, he's the one that is returning. And as he returns, he will greet us with those same words. He is a loving, blessed God. And in his return, he will manifest everything He has promised us in Jesus and grant eternal life and immortality to those who believe. Unfortunately, those that don't believe will enter eternal destruction, not because God murders people, but on account of their unbelief. No person can have eternal life by his own works, only by belief in Jesus Christ. Like in the flood of Noah, God was warning those people night and day for 120 years. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God will not strive with man always, meaning the Spirit was striving, and the Hebrew there, it means pleading the case. The Spirit was pleading the case for hundreds of years with the people that they will not be destroyed by the flood. So, and what that means is, you know, these people, they walked in unbelief, and when they walked in unbelief in God, they tried to uphold the universe and keep everything in balance by their own ability. And God saw that it will not be able, they will not be able to do it. So He was warning them and saying to them, you've brought an imbalance in the earth. The firmament that is above, the waters that are beneath, are not in balance anymore. And this earth is starting to be battered, the Hebrew says there. And the waters are going to, the deep's going to break open. The heavens are going to pour out water and you are all going to die. And He came and preached through Noah for 120 years to those people wanting to save them. And in the end, they did not believe and they all perished on account of their unbelief and in the effect it brings. It's not God murdering people. God is not a murderer. You know, God doesn't, imagine God can just go and kill people if they don't want to do what He says. And then we say, well, since God is our Father and we are in His image and in His likeness, who are we not to do the same as our Father? If somebody doesn't want to listen to us, we just execute the judgment of God on them. You know, we cannot live like that. God is the only good God. Now, in the last 5 minutes, the Bible says all spiritual blessings mean all eloquent, well-speaking that can be found in the heavens. That's how God speaks about us. Now, Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is God's eloquent speech about you. So if you look at Jesus, you see what God is saying about you. Now, I want to explain how a man in the Godhead says something about you. You know, I used to have a very big burbul dog, and that dog, when that dog would lie and sleep in front of the gate there, that dog would speak a universal language. That dog would say pain, injury, hospital, I'm on guard, don't enter, don't steal here. You know, that dog, just even while he sleeps, his presence says something. His presence warns. His presence says something. He's got a message. There's a message that that dog brings forth. In the very same way, you know, if we look at the new South Africa, when Nelson Mandela became president of South Africa, it gave a message to the whole world. When Barack Obama, which was the first black president, became president in America, it gave a message to the world. There's a message in that man, which is beautiful and which is good. In the very same way as what Barack has got a voice in who he is, as what Nelson Mandela has a voice in who he is, as what a dog would have a voice where he's sleeping, in the very same way a man in the Trinity has got a voice about humanity. So, what God thinks about Jesus is what God thinks about you. And God glorified Jesus, gave Him eternal life, a seat in the Godhead, freedom from sin, immortality in human form, in glorified human form. The Bible says, in Jesus dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So whatever God would say about Jesus is what God says about you. Jesus is the voice the voice of God about humanity. It talks about forgiveness, innocence, acceptance. Your sins has been taken away. You are loved by Him. That is the voice. Now, when you hear that word, and that word produces faith in you, that you can believe that that is the truth, then you are born of the Word and you are born again. So I want to say to you that, and I want to read this passage again. I want you to hear it from the perspective in which I've explained it now. It says, blessed be the God, the Father. Adorable is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has adored and praised us with all spiritual blessings, or the highest, most eloquent speech of commendation that can be found in the heavens. Glory to God. And it says, if you read the next verse there, it says, just as He has chosen us before in Christ Jesus. So in other words, these well-speaking is on account of God choosing to make us holy by His doing. So I want to say to you, whenever you look at God, whenever you look at Jesus, know that He only speaks well of you. Glory to God. Isn't that absolutely awesome? I would just like to pray for you in the last minute of this program and just declare the blessing of God over your life. Father, I want to thank You that I can just stretch forth my hands to everybody that's watching on this screen right now. And I declare to them, and I want to invite you to stretch forth your hands, just receive this blessing. I declare to you that you are holy, that you are righteous, that you are blessed in the blood of Jesus, that God is not sin conscious, but that He's a loving God that cares for you. In Jesus' mighty name, I declare your sins are forgiven you and your life is made brand new in Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you so much for watching. I would like you to contact us via our WhatsApp number as well as via our website. If you want to just send us a message, if this program blessed you, send it to our WhatsApp number there. We can SMS to that number as well. We would love to hear from you. Please go to our website and make use of all our material that's available there for free. I've got more than 1,000 messages for free on that website. Thank you so much for watching, and know that you are deeply loved by God. Amen.